This is Emily Wright, tech editor and head of special projects at EG, and it's Friday, which can only mean one thing. We're still here, we're hanging on, and I'm delighted that we've got Tim Burke, our deputy editor, on the podcast today, because we haven't had Tim on this podcast for, I was going to say weeks, but I think I need to say months.
Is that true? I think you're right, months. But hello, it's good to be back. Happy Friday, one and all.
Good to have you back, and happy Friday to you too. Now, this is a bit of a last hurrah for you, isn't it? Well, not forever, because you're heading off for a couple of weeks, which must be wonderful after so many weeks of lockdown. Are you looking forward to it?
I cannot wait. 2 weeks of annual leave. School is out for the summer, so I don't need to pretend to be a teacher anymore, which I think I'm happy about, and so are my students. And 2 weeks of doing little but venturing to, weather permitting, the garden bench and a hammock.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Perfect.
Oh, well, thank you very much for joining me today. It's been another busy week. And on this week's podcast, I think it would be fair to say we have good news and we have bad news. Let's go against tradition and start with the bad news, so we can end on a bit of a high. I think that's probably fair enough. And for the bad news, I'm going to go straight to you, Tim. Sorry, you are you're the doom monger this week.
The bearer of bad news. Well, look, the big story this week has been the hundreds of jobs that are now at risk across some of the big real estate agencies. And sadly, listeners will know this was always coming. Deals dried up during lockdown. We saw Cushman & Wakefield, for example, making redundancies earlier in the year as other firms were furloughing staff. But the news that's coming out now from a growing list of firms, it just underlines how severe the fallout from the COVID crisis is likely to be across the industry. So you've got JLL, said to have put 200 roles in consultation, so at risk of redundancy, 100 or so at Knight Frank, CBRE, could see 250 jobs lost. BNP Paribas Real Estate expects to let up to 150 people go. At Avis & Young, the firm has put the London business as a whole into redundancy consultation, and the expectation there is that you could have 100 jobs lost between London and the region. So it's sad news, and it's affecting seemingly all businesses and all business lines.
I mean, that is, as you say, it's such a funny one, isn't it? Because you're quite right. We knew this was coming, but it somehow feels like such a shock. Not in the immediate sort of situation, but it's because 2020 started so well, and you know, with everybody thinking, you know, this is the year, this is the comeback year, and nobody could have predicted, obviously, what was going to happen, and how quickly it all changed, and now the fallout of that is such a stark reminder of just how much things have changed, isn't it?
I think you're absolutely right. I think Q1 had been so good in many respects that, you know, the fallout from COVID, of course, you know, unexpected as we went into the crisis, has just felt all the more stark. And you speak to people behind the scenes at these firms, and no one's pretending that this is easy or you know, of course, even remotely enjoyable. I mean, the hope within these companies is simply that they can, I guess, reshape their businesses now to reflect what they think will happen in the markets during the coming months, because there are signs of deal activity starting to pick back up again, but it's so slow. And after a dire second quarter, most company bosses are just worried about what the rest of the year will look like. And it seems a given that there's going to be less work to go around, and so many roles and individuals will likely fall casualty to that. Now, I've spoken to people this week who are hopeful that the job losses will be fewer than we've been discussing over the course of this week. But with so little visibility as to what's coming down the pipeline in terms of work, it's just tough to make that call at the moment.
And what do we know at this stage about who might be affected by these redundancies? Are we looking at specific job roles, specific sort of levels within businesses, or is it across the board?
For a lot of the companies that have put large numbers of roles at risk, it really does span the business. And, you know, I've spoken to a couple of executives who've said it's difficult within their companies to point to an area that they don't feel is going to be affected by the COVID-19 fallout at the moment. But even given that, there are obviously going to be areas, retail, for example, where the challenges that a sector was facing even before COVID are going to make that a real area of focus for perhaps streamlining operations over the coming months. So I guess a broad mix of roles being put at risk. As those numbers are confirmed and we actually see individuals being affected by this, you might see certain areas being narrowed in on, I think.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in terms of the fallout. You know, the market obviously is going to be likely, awash with people looking to move or looking for work, and it'll be interesting to see what that means in terms of the way that the industry then moves forward, because there are emerging sectors that, you know, and I always say this, nobody would have wished for something like this as a path to success, but there are sectors that have that are performing better as a result, and we are doing a lot of work investigating how the industry is shifting and changing off the back of what's happened. And it will be interesting to see whether there's sort of a redeployment of talent. And so let's see what happens. But obviously, it's going to be a tough few weeks from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think so. And I get, look, you have to hope as well that companies will at least have a chance here to show some of that kindness and compassion that we've all been talking about as being promoted during this crisis. If you look at Avison Young's statement on the consultation, for example, they go into some details there about the coaching and the mentoring that they're making available for affected staff, you know, not pretending that this will make everything better for those individuals whose livelihoods are affected, of course, but, you know, hopefully we see companies doing anything they can to make this process even slightly less painful for people.
We said that there was good news and bad news, and that really is quite depressing, isn't it? But as you say, you know, we saw it coming, and let's just hope, you make a great point there at the end, and you know, let's just hope that some of that kindness and compassion can come into play here, because never has there been a more important time for it. Anyway, on that sad and rather miserable note, particularly for a Friday, it is not all bad news, although obviously that is a sort of a wide-reaching industry issue that's going to affect a lot of people and a lot of businesses, and we don't take that lightly. But there are still reasons to celebrate, and the industry has performed, you know, incredibly well through some very difficult times, and we have just released our shortlist and all of our finalists for the upcoming EG Awards. So that's exciting, isn't it?
I think so. Look, I think, as you say, we're in tough times. We all need something to look forward to. The awards, of course, are going to be a little different this year. It'll be a virtual event. But I think if you look through that list of contenders across all the categories on the website, and congratulations to all of them, I hope you'll see that there's going to be a lot to celebrate. And I think you're right. I think in difficult times, it's even more important to find those reasons.
Absolutely. So for anybody that wants more information on that, they can check out the shortlist online or in this week's issue of EG and have a look at it. And it's a really stellar list, actually. And the judges were tough this year, very tough. I was in a couple of judging sessions, and every entry was, you know, gone over with a fine tooth comb, as well they should. And I think, you know, it's a real testament to the industry, both pre and obviously post slash during the pandemic. So yes, I will echo your congratulations. Congratulations to everybody. And I was looking after the Rising Stars category, and we've got some fantastic names on there. And as usual, a rather long shortlist for that category. It's a bit different from the other ones. So 16 names on that this year. We had so many entries. It was amazing. We were completely inundated. So that's very reassuring as well, to see all these future stars, letting us know what they've been up to and what still inspires them about the sector. So that's
absolutely
fantastic.
And a big thank you to our judges as well, of course. There's some fantastic pictures in the magazine, yes, and online of our judges enjoying lockdown as they joined us virtually for those discussions. Great fun.
They are brilliant pictures, absolutely brilliant. If you haven't seen the picture of William Murray yet, then you know that, definitely check it out. But we've got, you know, William Murray and Sadie Morgan, William Newton, and a host of our other judges all photographed in their, you know, it sounds like a nature program, doesn't it, in their natural environments, which is nice because it adds a human element to it, and it's all about, and that's what it's about, isn't it? So that's brilliant.
Absolutely.
And also this week, if you have a chance to check it out, then we have the EG interview this week is with Pippa Malmgren, who, if anybody checked out the magazine it's actually about 4 years ago now, would have seen that we have spoken to her before. But she's an interesting character. She is George W. Bush's former economic advisor. So she took on the role in the White House days, I think, before 9/11, and then was responsible for trying to sort out the economy just after that, which is a fascinating story. And if anybody hasn't heard it, then check out our previous interview with her. But she's very forward focused, and for a few years now, she's been telling me in passing about her business, sort of a side business to her consultancy, so trying to develop and manufacture drones. And I always sort of thought, well, that sounds interesting. And I thought she's onto something there, but I'm just not quite sure what. And indeed, she was onto something, and she has spied a gap in the market. And she spent the last 10 years developing one of the very few Western surveillance fleets of drones that is now being used by construction companies and mining companies across the world to keep an eye on sites, but also deliver a huge amount of data back to the client, whether that's, you know, the CTO or the CEO, COO, or just the development team, able to do 3D visualization, valuations. It's just a really interesting story. So do check that out this week. She's a character as well, so it's well worth the read.
It absolutely is. No, it's a great read. I'm sure you won't mind me saying. But I was particularly interested. Pippa makes the point in that piece about most people thinking of drones as a children's toy, which spoke to me, because that's exactly how I've tended to see these, as something that one of my lads would be interested in. But I think the insight that she gives into the use this can have for all types of businesses, but, you know, for our listeners, of course, most critically real estate, is really something.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, pointing out that drones are seen either as a children's toy, or, you know, as a kind of a futuristic delivery mode of, you know, to deliver your pizza or a book from Amazon, you know, that's how people kind of see them. But it's this corporate drone, highly automated, designed for all weathers, packed full of the latest software, meaning that it is a really, really powerful not just surveillance tool, but data tool. And I think that one of the phrases that she uses, if I can remember it correctly, is that they are kind of sort of delivering perception into the three-dimensional, yeah. Which is a great thing. So yes, check that out. Otherwise, I think that's probably it from us this week. It's lovely to have you back on the podcast, Tim.
Thank you. It's been good to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for coming on to sort of talk about what is a difficult but really important, issue affecting the industry at the moment. Yeah. And for mentioning as well kindness and compassion, because those two things really should go hand in hand. And let's hope they do. Anyway, we said we were going to do the bad news first so we could end on a positive. So let's end on a positive and say check out all of the EG Awards finalists, and hopefully everybody will have a wonderful weekend. And Tim, you're off for 2 weeks, so have a lovely time away.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend all.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me.